The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." He rose, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He shall be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord. This might sound like ancient history to some of you, but from September of 1962 through May of 1965 at All Saints Parish School, just south of downtown Tucson, I was not allowed to hand in any class assignment without my name in the upper right-hand corner of the paper. And Catholic school kids, what in the upper left-hand corner? JMJ, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Back then, my concept of Holy Family, it was grade 6, 7, and 8. My concept was pretty much just sentimental and certainly naive. It was all about safety and peace and comfort. Picturing the Holy Family as only about Jesus' childhood years, I think, distorts our understanding. My picture has changed over the years, and that's a good thing. Sometimes the change has been acutely painful, but still, it's a good thing. You see, in today's scriptures, there's a progression about family from the earliest written, Sirach, to the latest written, Matthew. Sirach tells us that there is an established order to our family life, and that order is right and just. In Colossians, we read that in Jesus the Christ, this order in our family lives is defined not by some burden of duty, but rather by an overarching love that is always generative, merciful, and self-giving. And Matthew's story shows us that the task of parent is twofold. First, to discern well, and then to act boldly. That is, we learn to recognize the guidance God offers us, parents, and then act on it. Each member of our family has a mission to carry God's love into the world in a unique way. Holy Family is a goal, but it is not an end in itself. The family is the place of nurture so that from the family, God's kingdom might be increased. A parent's protective and formative actions are critical to each one of the missions embodied in each member of the family. But this is today. Is it possible to be Holy Family today? We're in a culture that seems obsessed with spotlighting failures in family. Broken marriages, spousal infidelity, domestic violence, child neglect and abuse, elder neglect and abuse, all manner of unholy family situations. To find a picture of family as life-affirming and a place of nurture is hard to do in our current public discourse. Have you noticed? Perhaps that's because we think, as Father Chris said at the beginning, that a holy family might be dull. Perhaps we imagine that there are never moments where one member's trust in another member is challenged deeply. Or we think that tragedy never strikes any member of a holy family. The real story of Jesus, Joseph, and Mary doesn't meet that expectation at all. True holiness comes in the form of Joseph, struggling with, mightily struggling with, and then ultimately knowing that Mary's pregnancy is of divine origin. Family holiness comes in the form of Mary and Joseph picking up everything and leaving immediately, flying to Egypt, leaving all behind so that their baby won't be murdered. Family holiness shows itself in Joseph, doing as was the duty of every Jewish father, the job of passing on his faith tradition lovingly and carefully to his son. Scripture doesn't say explicitly Joseph was a good teacher to Jesus, but when Jesus left Joseph's house, he knew his faith tradition, did he not? Family holiness shows up as a mother watches her son reviled and condemned by the culture, yet stands by him in love, though her heartbreak is beyond imagining. Family holiness also shows up right here in this room in countless ways. And when I speak of family, I mean families that are biological, families that are adoptive, families that are foster families, families that are intentional, made up of groups from the larger community. It shows up when members of these families, you guys, honor one another and care for one another and encourage one another. Old to young, young to old, strong to weak, weak to strong. Encouraging one another, and most importantly, forgiving one another as often and as deeply as we wound one another. Here's a two-part homework suggestion for you. First, call to mind a member of your family who is deeply in need of being uplifted in some important way. And do something more to help lift that person up. Part two, call to mind someone in your family as you define it. Call to mind someone who has profoundly helped, taught, or uplifted you at some critical moment in your life. And thank them explicitly. Especially if you haven't done that yet. But even if you have done it repeatedly, remind them one more time of how God's grace touches you through them. And in any case, please expect nothing in return. Let your affirmation to them be pure gift, just as this communion in which we are about to share is pure gift. Merry fifth day of Christmas.